sends the investor class diving for their tax shelters. Rick Smith.
The rich pay too much taxes. The poor get way too much. Instead of schools, build prisons and lock the children up. We won't believe those lies again, because God is a Republican.
Yes, and he is thrilled that the end of the world is coming. John Bolton, the National Security Advisor. I got to tell you, the Left Behind people have got to be tickled pink. Absolutely, positively, all tingly in the panties with the mustachioed neocon as the top security advisor. That has just got to be sending those Left Behind folks just, wow, thrilled and all giddy. And here to talk about that. Also, a little bit about the bombing down in Austin. I've asked our good friend Christopher Stroop to come talk with us. He's the creator of Empty Pews and You Don't Know Evangelical Hashtags. Also a political writer, does some amazing stuff on the ex-evangelical movement. Chris, thanks for taking time for us.
You bet, Rick. It's always great to be on, and thanks for that introduction.
So what do you think of this? What do you think of John Bolton and National Security Advisor? Do you think I'm right? Do you think the Left Behinders are all getting ready to pack?
Well, I mean, they like him because he's conspiratorial like them, you know. And there's always this kind of tension in those communities between wanting to act in ways that might bring about the rapture or the end of the world and simply, you know, wanting to be ready for it. But you have to fight the Antichrist, or you have to fight the forces of Antichrist, you know. They're not going to be upset about war in the Middle East. I mean, generally, that would make them happy because they expect it to happen. They expect it to precede the second coming, and they don't really believe peace in the Middle East is possible.
And, you know, I talk to people who, you know, don't know anything about, and it's amazing how well the evangelical community has kept that whole best-selling series of novels out of mainstream thought, at least in my world. And when you explain, you know, what they're talking about and what they want, most people look at me going, no, that's not possible. I'm going, yeah, they think a giant spaceship's going to come take them away, and the rest of us are all going to be slaughtered.
Yeah, well, you know, for the most part, not a literal spaceship, but Jesus appearing in the sky and taking the people who are truly saved back up to heaven. A whole lot of kids had a lot of terror around that thought. I mean, I wrote an essay about growing up in the end times. We've used the hashtag rapture anxiety. So if people want to see just sort of how terrorizing it is for children to grow up being told, you probably won't have a career, you probably won't graduate from college, you probably won't get married because Christ is coming back anytime. And also being prepared to be persecuted because persecution of Christians is supposed to ramp up before Christ comes back. Yeah, search that hashtag rapture anxiety. You'll see a lot of disturbing stories.
So, you know, and then the reason I bring that up is for just where you went, because, you know, I've seen, you know, various stories. I remember the Jesus Camp movie where this girl is just, you know, weeping uncontrollably for, you know, what I thought was almost no reason whatsoever. And I look at this kid down in Austin who, you know, now they're the headlines are, you know, good came from a good godly family. And I'm going, you know, if this kid was Muslim, it would be terrorist attacks area. And, you know, there's a huge difference between, you know, Christian terrorists, which I'm saying this kid was, and Muslim terrorists, evidently, according to our media, but also on how we look at them and where they come from.
Yeah, in the way that we treat them, absolutely, there is a huge difference. So, you know, when you look at domestic terrorism, particularly terrorism carried out usually by right-wing white men, they're written off as lone wolves, mentally ill. They're completely sort of separated artificially from the ideological environment in which they exist and live and think, you know, as if these awful ideas that they espouse don't have any direct relationship to violence, and they clearly do. And we do treat people of color and Muslims with a completely different standard. Christianity is not always benign. Religion is not always benign. It's my position that fundamentalism is something that takes place within religion. So, you know, progressive Christianity, certainly that's real Christianity, but so is fundamentalist Christianity, like the type that I grew up with. From kind of external sociological perspective, you can't say that one is fake and the other is real. It's just religion has the potential to do, to be progressive or to be very destructive and conservative.
Yeah, you know, I always say, you know, it's anything you take to the extreme is bad for you. You breathe too much oxygen, you're going to die. You drink too much water, you're going to drown. Anything to the excess, to the extreme, not good.
Yeah, and so, you know, Mark Anthony Condit, his family, they have the hallmarks of a typical Christian right family. I mean, we know that they were a homeschooling family. His mother, Denine, homeschooled all of her children. She sells Amway. Multi-level marketing is disproportionately popular on the Christian right. In his old blog from 2012, he used some pretty typical Christian right talking points. But there's another thing that's very telling, besides some of the details that have emerged from their business websites, which are pretty weird and out there. One of the homeschooling groups in which he was involved, where they would get together and do outdoor activities, including things as innocuous as water balloon fights, but also shooting, archery, fighting, role-playing, apparently, I suspect, end times preparation sort of stuff, was called Riot, R-I-O-T, for Righteous Invasion of Truth. It seems that no journalists or pundits, to my knowledge at this point, have picked up on this, but ex-evangelicals on Twitter have picked up on this. Now, that is the title of an album by a contemporary Christian artist, and I use the term artist very loosely, Carman, that's C-A-R-M-A-N, that was released in 1995. And that album, the videos, the different cuts from it, they've got some pretty violent and militant lyrics, stuff that would remind you of Jesus Camp. In fact, I pulled them up to refresh my memory a bit here. My family didn't listen to Carman that much, but I did hear some of his stuff back in the day, and I believe I went to one of his concerts once. I've got kind of a vague memory of that. But so, you know, this was covered in, I think, BuzzFeed, that they had this homeschooling group called Righteous Invasion of Truth, and nobody made the connection to the Christian right subculture. So here are the lyrics from the title track, Riot, which is spelled with all capital letters, the period between each one. So let me find some of the more violent lyrics here. Before this church is raptured, there's no way we're going to leave here quiet. We want a righteous invasion of truth. We want a riot. Righteous, to conform to the Bible, invasion, an armed attack of truth, the real state of affairs, like a church on the move that will not double back from the fight. They named themselves after, you know, this album from 1995.
Wow. And, you know, you hear this and you know, I've had people tell me that the evangelical right, the people who do the homeschooling. And look, there are some, I've had people who say, you know, these evangelicals have given the homeschoolers a really bad name, which may be true. But virtually every homeschooler I know is one of these, you know, way out kind of people. Not that all homeschoolers are, just all the ones that I've met. and they all have this view that they had children and multiple children to be Christian warriors. So when I hear you lay this out, that it's even, you know, further back than I can imagine, it scares the living you-know-what out of me.
Yeah, well, so homeschooling really starts to take off in the 1980s. And just now there's a first generation of homeschooled kids who were educated and, you know, subjected to really extremist views, sometimes hardcore physical and sexual abuse, extremes of isolation and control by narcissistic parents, because homeschooling is virtually unregulated. And that's largely thanks to the lobbying of the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, which was founded, I believe, in the 80s. It started changing laws and making it easier and easier to homeschool. And we really need to push back against them. Without necessarily saying you've got to get rid of homeschooling, I'd like to give a shout out again to Catherine Brightville, who's a real expert on this and who also was homeschooled in a radical Christian right environment and was a culture warrior on the front lines protesting abortion clinics and that sort of thing. You know, she's now a legislative analyst for the Coalition for Responsible Homeschooling. That's a very good organization. But while it's hard to get figures on why exactly people are homeschooling, precise figures anyway, you know, an estimate that I looked at this morning, I looked back at a great article by Catherine Joyce, precisely on homeschoolers speaking out against the abuses they experienced being homeschooled in the 1980s and 90s, an article that she wrote in Prospect Magazine in 2014. She was looking at the current literature on homeschooling at that time and said that experts estimate that 2/3 to 3/4 of homeschooling in the United States is done by Christian fundamentalists. That figure might be a little dated. it's my anecdotal impression that homeschooling has become more popular among liberals in recent years, but it is a very high proportion, nevertheless, of homeschool curriculums that's designed for Christian fundamentalists, and it's a very high proportion of homeschooled families who are Christian fundamentalists. And in fact, you sometimes hear about the curriculum transforming more mainstream and moderate Christians into radicals, or feeding into the abusive and narcissistic tendencies of parents who now have divine authority to do whatever they want.
And as we saw in California, you know, to some really very, in some cases, some deadly consequences, or, you know, just you look at the stories of those kids that were, you know, crated, and you see these stories, and it's maddening.
It is really, really awful and disturbing. And, you know, the Coalition for Responsible Home Education, their solution to this would be to have just some sensible regulations. You've got to have some standards. You've got to have some checks to make sure that children are not being abused in homeschooling environments. It is very widespread. And the Homeschool Legal Defense Association does everything it can to cover that up and protect the abusers.
Right. Well, what do you say to the person, Chris, who goes, you know, these people, there's just a handful of people who've gone too far. You know, they're not all like this. Maybe you're exaggerating how large the crazy sect of the evangelical community is. What do you say to them?
Well, I would say that evangelical extremism or sort of hardline paranoid style politics comes in degrees. And certainly they are conservative white evangelicals are a minority of the U.S. population, but they're one that absolutely has disproportionate power because they've built up a huge lobbying infrastructure since the 1970s, building on some smaller scale efforts that were made in the 50s and 60s as largely coming out of the fight against communism. You know, it was the Cold War that allowed extreme radical evangelicals to re-enter the American mainstream as they'd been kind of shunted aside after the Scopes trial, which was national embarrassment for them, you know, in 1925. But they didn't go away. And when with the atomic bomb, you know, America had gotten into a very apocalyptic mood, and we were looking at the world in terms of good versus evil after World War II with the Soviet Union versus the United States. Evangelical apocalypse believers were able to re-enter the mainstream and become a part of the conversation. And when that sort of general early Cold War consensus around how we had to be a religious country to fight the godless commies, and this is why in 1954 we added "Under God, the Pledge of Allegiance" in 1956, "In God We Trust" became the motto of the United States. When in the 60s, with the counterculture and the civil rights movement, that consensus starts to break down, you have evangelicals double down, and in the 70s in particular, start to build up ultimately quite powerful political coalitions and organizations. And now Donald Trump's cabinet is full of them, you know, and there's this radical pastor, Ralph Drollinger of Capital Ministries, who hosts a Bible study with most of Trump's cabinet members every week. They have power.
And the thing that's scary is most people, you know, as you're laying this stuff out, most people haven't even dreamt that that's actually happened.
Yeah, it's the media really needs to wake up to this. I mean, one of the points that I try to stress regularly on Twitter, on my blog, is that we need to change the national conversation around evangelicals because they are homegrown extremists to varying degrees. I mean, I went to a Christian school that would be considered one of the more moderate ones because it liked Billy Graham, as opposed to thinking that Billy Graham was a heretic who was going to hell because he bailed Martin Luther King out of jail. I mean, there are degrees of fundamentalism. But my school, nevertheless, taught young earth creationism. It also had AP biology, and so I took that class. Our instructor, he told us to read the evolution chapters on our own and regurgitate them for the AP exam, but then he also showed us young earth creationist propaganda. And he was an apocalyptic mystic who would spend about half the class period on these devotional thoughts that he would have, and they were so bizarre. And in the fall, they were always about how the rapture was probably going to happen this year around Yom Kippur. Wow. I'm not making this up.
Wow. Of course, right around a Jewish holiday, which, wow. So, you know, when as someone growing up under this, because, you know, I'm looking at this kid in Austin and I'm going, you know, how does somebody who's, you know, everyone says a decent kid, you know, didn't, you know, cause any trouble so much. You know, how does somebody, you know, deal with a lifetime of what you've laid out is there's no hope for tomorrow. It's all going to end. You know, why do I have to do anything? You know, study. Why do I have to get a job? Why do I do anything at all when it's all coming to an end? And that kind of a apocalyptic view of I'm struggling to understand, you know, how someone functions in that kind of a thought process.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's weird. Obviously, a lot of us kids were really, really troubled being indoctrinated in this as children, and very much in this hardline black and white, good versus evil sort of thinking. We had our Christian communities, and everything else was the world, you know, and the world out there was corrupted by Satan and dangerous, and you had to be careful with it because you could open yourself up to demonic influences. I mean, that was something that we really believed in too, witchcraft. Devils, the devil, demons. My family let my sister and me trick or treat on Halloween, which is kind of a big deal for that, for this group, because a lot of people don't. They go to church harvest festivals instead, or some people just spend the evening praying against the demons that they believe are very active on Halloween. And we did believe that. We were not allowed to have scary costumes. My mom wouldn't even let us say trick or treat. We had to say Happy Halloween instead, but you know, the neighbors were nice and still gave us candy.
literally speechless. So let me bring this back around then, you know, because again, you know, you look at this stuff and it's happening right before our eyes. Is there a way to legislate crazy? I mean, because it seems to me that this is borderline crazy.
Well, it is, but you know, the extent to which the state can interfere in this sort of thing, that's a very tricky and thorny question. When it comes to homeschooling, I think that homeschooling should be regulated to make sure that it's up to standard, that children aren't being abused. When it comes to schooling, so I went to private Christian schools, you know, which were really quite radical. For the one that I went to in middle school in Colorado Springs, 1993 to 1995, was even more radical than the one that I graduated from in Indianapolis. At least we could not provide them with state and federal funding to do what they do. You know, why do we have these voucher programs which cultivate radical Christian extremism in the United States?
Yeah, I mean, I look at Betsy DeVos, and, you know, we talk about this often, the fact that they want to take money from public schools to give to these charter schools or these private schools, or the goal, as I understand it, and you can correct me if you think I'm wrong, is to eventually pay the homeschoolers to homeschool their children, because we're trying to affix them a dollar amount to each child's head. So that, in my view, eventually all the homeschoolers can cash in as well, especially the ones who have 20 kids.
I mean, possibly. I'm not totally sure about that, but I know that many, many people in these circles, you know, the more extremes of the extremes, will actually admit, if you kind of force them into it, back them into a corner in conversation, that they would like to see all public education destroyed. They don't believe it's godly. They believe that the state doing things is idolatry. I mean, other than the collective defense and maybe some infrastructure, if the state provides any kind of social programs, they see that as taking the place of God. The really thoroughgoing Christian Reconstructionist and Dominionist ideologues don't believe in public schooling. They believe it should all be done by private Christian schools or church schools or homeschooling, and they have debates about that. Some see homeschooling as the more pure version, because they believe that God has given specifically fathers total authority over their children.
Wow.
They believe this hierarchy. You can find a lot of Christian right materials that are really quite explicit about this, that, you know, we live in a hierarchical world where if people are obedient to God and not rebelling against God, then, you know, men have been placed over women and children. And they are to have absolute authority in the family. The state's not supposed to interfere. Fortunately, we have some laws for which the state can interfere in cases of abuse, but it's difficult to do. And I do think there are too many religious exemptions. When it comes to faith healing communities, for example, there are a lot of graveyards out in certain states where faith healing is very common, where You can read from the dates on the gravestones that very small children have died of preventable diseases because their parents refused to get them modern medicine and practiced only prayer and faith healing. I personally believe that they should be held to the same standards and laws against gross neglect as, you know, any other parent who just neglects their children without a religious quote-unquote justification for that neglect.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Last question I've got for you. I look at again back to this kid in Austin. I'm actually surprised there aren't more of these stories going on. Are these things happening and we're just not paying attention to it? Or is this just maybe one of those things that just, who knows what made this kid do what he did?
I mean, we don't 100% know his motivations. We can only speculate at this point. And unless we can prove political motivation, then this can't technically be considered terrorism under the law. Though I think that in the way that we talk about terrorism day to day, we can certainly call this terrorism. And it seems very likely that his childhood indoctrination, extreme Christian right ideology is going to be a key factor. I suspect that we'll find that out if we're able to get more information about what happened here. But yes, I mean, extreme cases of abuse and violence in homeschooling and other Christian right communities, it's not that uncommon. There's a great website, Homeschoolers Anonymous, where they did a whole series on when homeschooling turns violent. And so that's out there that people can look at. So ideas have consequences, right? Conservatives used to like saying that. It's true, but conservative ideas also have consequences, right? And the extreme right is really the danger that we need to be fearing in the United States.
I'm with you. Chris, I appreciate the time and the thoughts. Thanks so much.
You bet, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Good stuff. Always good talking to you. And I'm always scary as hell, I got to be honest. Wow. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Think of all the roads. Think of all the crossings. Taking steps is easy. Standing still is hard. Remember all their faces. Remember all their everything is different the second time around.